Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah wa kafaa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa amma ba'd. These are the last ayat of Surah Tahrim that we just recited in the Salatul Witr. And as I mentioned in the announcement, that we'll try to keep it a bit briefer than normal, than earlier, until as it is later. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all the brothers and sisters for their sacrifice, insha'Allah. So these are a few nights in between where it's later and the itikaf has not started. When the itikaf starts, then we all have the captive itikaf audience. They have nowhere to go. So we may start extending it again. Wallahu a'lam. Allahu Akbar. So over here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end is giving different examples of different women. And the examples of women are not only for women, of course they are for men. As men are responsible for their wives, men are responsible for their daughters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving the example for the disbelievers. These are examples of disbelieving women. إِمْرَأَةَ نُوح وَمَرَأَةَ لُوت. The wife of Nuh alayhi salam, the wife of Lut alayhi salam. Nuh alayhi salam, Najihullah, one of the Ulul Azam, Anbiya alayhi salam. Lut alayhi salam, a great prophet, nephew of Ibrahim Khalilullah alayhi salam. Two prophets, their wives. كانتا تحت عبدين من عبادنا. They were both married to two of our righteous servants. And the husband in the hierarchy is a higher level. That's where the word تحت is used. تحت means under. They were in marriage to two of our righteous servants. عبادنا صالحين. فخانتاهما. But they both betrayed them. They did not betray them in their person. They were not... They were loyal as far as their chastity is concerned to their husbands, but they made khiyana in their deen by not accepting the deen of their husbands, the deen of Allah, the deen that, the correct deen, the deen that would have applied to them as well. It's not just the religion of the husband, it was the correct religion. And their husbands were the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, conveying that message to the entire ummah. They did not obey their husbands, they did not accept Islam. فَلَمْ يُغْنِيَا عَنْهُمَا مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا. So these two husbands, the fact that they were prophets of Allah did not benefit them in the court of Allah at all. First Allah Ta'ala said, this is an example for disbelievers. And then he mentioned the wife of Nuh, wife of Lut. Oh wow, the husbands are prophets. They were married to prophets, but they did not accept their religion. Now, we may think that since their husbands are prophets and great prophets, perhaps even though they disbelieved, it could work something out, that relationship would come to help them out. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, no, 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 don't believe that. That's not the case. Rather, فَلَمْ يُغْنِيَا عَنْهُمَا مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا. The fact that their husbands were believers did not help them in the least. شَيْئًا, not in the least. No benefit, zero benefit. The fact that their husbands were prophets was absolutely inconsequential. وَقِيلَ, and it will be commanded to them on the Day of Judgment, ادْخُلُ النَّارَ مَعَ الدَّاخِلِينَ. Enter into the fire along with those who are entering. Meaning, there are others who are entering the fire, and you enter with them, meaning you are in the same line with them. The fact that your husbands were prophets does not mean that you have a less adab, or you have some preferential treatment. I was about to say like VIP line where you can skip the line or you get special. No, but that would not actually help. If you get to skip the line, you're going to Jahannam first. So the only way something could be special in Jahannam would be less adab or some type of takhfif. But that is why entering the fire would have been the end of the ayah. Ma'ad dakhilin, along with everyone else. Along with everyone else, what is the benefit of that? The benefit of that is that your benefit of these words that Allah is using is that there is absolutely no preferential treatment to them. For them, Allah is not giving them anything special. In fact, the closer you are and the more opportunities you have to accept the truth and you still reject it, it is actually worse for you. So their husbands were giving da'wah for years upon years, And despite this, these individuals, these two mahroom individuals, deprived of the mercy of Allah, deprived of the tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their relationship did not help at all. And as we always remind ourselves that there is a core family that includes husband and wife, which become mother and father, and then they have children, which would be a son and a daughter. And the son and the daughter, they are siblings of one another. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions all of these relations in the Quran of combinations of righteous people and not righteous, believers and disbelievers. And he points out that all of these relations will not be of any help for the disbeliever, no matter how close he is to the believer. So starting from the father, the parent, we have the example of Azar, who is an idol maker, idol seller, father of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam is the father of Tawheed, and his father is father of Ibrahim is an idol maker. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لِيَبِيهِ أَزَرُ. Remember when Ibrahim alayhi salam said to his father, أَتَتَّخِذُ أَصْنَامًا أَلِهَةً. You're making idols as your God. إِنِّي أَرَاكَ وَقَوْمَكَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. I see you and your qawm in open air. But I have to just stick to topic. We want to conclude early tonight, so not go on too many tangents. This is an example of the father. Second one is an example of the son, Nuh alayhi salam and his son. And over here we see Lut alayhi salam and his wife. And we also see that husband is Fir'aun. He was not going to benefit. He's not going to benefit. You know, sometimes people say, oh, my wife works there, I get perks. She works in United, I go on standby for free. No, his wife was not a normal woman. That is the key woman. We want to talk about her dua. And that is the reason we are selected this passage. For those who are joining us, as I mentioned every night, this is a series of du'as in the Quran, which is coming in the next ayah. So Fir'aun does not get a pass, does not get any takhfif. Or he will also be told, Udkhulun nara ma'ad-dakhinin. In fact, Allah Ta'ala mentions about Fir'aun specifically similar ayah. I mean, there are many ayat about him in the Quran, but one ayah that comes to mind right now, An-naru yu'raduna 'alayha ghudwan wa 'ashiya. Allah Ta'ala says that the fire of Jahannam is burning for them in their graves, morning and evening. This is one ayah, the only ayah, in fact, that is a proof in Aqidah books. We study this ayah as an evidence of Adab al-Qabr. Because there are some different groups who deny the Adab of Qabr, and they say, where is the Adab of Qabr in the Quran? This ayah. How do we know this adab is about the qabr? An-nar yu'raduna 'alayha ghudwan wa 'ashiya. Mornings and evenings the fire will be presented upon Fir'aun. Then Allah Ta'ala says, wa yawma taqumu sa'a. After this adab finishes, then the day of judgment will happen. So what adab is it before day of judgment? Adab al-qabr. Are we there? Okay. So Allah Ta'ala says that this is the adab. Morning and evening the fire is presented. When you see fire, automatically you think fire of Jahannam. But this is not fire of Jahannam. Because وَيَوْمَ تَقُومَ السَّاعَةَ. After that the day of judgment will be established. Then Allah will say, أَدْخِلُوا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ أَشَدَّ الْعَذَابِ. Oh, Fir'aun and your family of Fir'aun, now you enter Ashad. One is Shadid, strong. And Ashad means stronger. Like Kabir and Akbar. Kabir is big, Akbar is bigger. Allahu Akbar, he's the biggest, greatest. So أشد العذاب, even more severe. More severe than what? Than adab in the barzakh. So there's adab in the barzakh, and then there's adab. So over here, Allah Ta'ala says, enter. And so Fir'aun does not get a pass because his wife is Asiya. And Lut alayhi salam, Imrat al-Lut does not get a pass. Her husband is Lut alayhi salam, etc. One thing is mentioned very clearly in the books of tafsir, that no Nabi ever came that their wife betrayed them when it comes to their person by being by engaging in na'udhu billah anything, any extramarital relationship. They did, some of them, a majority of them believed and some of them did not believe. One thing we see here is that those anbiya alayhim salam, that their wives did believe, their deen spread, their ummah was strong, and they had a lasting impact. And those anbiya that their wives did not support them, their nation was destroyed. Nuh alayhi salam's own wife did not support him in his mission. The whole nation, with except for a few on a ship, were drowned. Lut alayhi salam, his wife did not support him. The whole nation was destroyed. His own children, the children of Noah, the children of Lot, were also destroyed. When the malaika came and told Lut alayhi salam to evacuate the city the night before the adab, they came and they said, come out, illa maratak, but your wife cannot come with you. You need to escape. Innahu musibuha ma asabahum. She will face the same adab like the Qum. And they said, hurry up, hurry up. Inna mu'idahum as-subh. It's nighttime now. The appointed time, the wa'da, the promise of Allah for the adab to strike is the morning. Alaysa subhu bi qareeb. Is not the morning near enough? You need to leave. Alaysa subhu bi qareeb. And then falamma ja'a amruna, when the command came in the morning, ja'alna 'aliyaha safilaha. The top of the earth became the bottom. Allah Ta'ala picked up the whole area, turned it upside down, and flipped it. And that is where the depression is, which was filled with water and became the Dead Sea. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had full support of Khadijah al-Kubra radiyallahu anha, displayed a major role in his da'wah being successful. Right from the first time when he received the wahi, she supported him, she consoled him, she said, do not worry, I'll take you to Waraqa ibn Nawfil, my cousin, and we'll find out what happened. She sacrificed all her money, all her property, all her life for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Aisha radiallahu anha said, ya Rasulullah, I didn't even meet this woman, I'm so jealous of her, you have such fond memories of Khadija radiallahu anha, you cannot get her out of your head, I'm here, your wife. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, how can I ever forget her? Amanat bi lamma kadhabani an-nas. She believed in me when everyone else rejected me, and she supported me when everyone else threw me out. And she gave everything for the deen. And Allah Ta'ala gave me children through her too. She's the one that received salam from Allah. Jibreel alayhi salam came down and said, you have new wahi? No. This time I came with a message. What's the message? Allah is sending his salam to Khadija. Khadija Kubra radiallahu anha. Khadija to bint Khuwailid radiallahu anha. Such an amazing woman. Last time I was in Nizamuddin, the elders, they had in Mudhakara on the effort of women. And one of the mashayikh, he was giving a very beautiful, profound example. These are two examples that are in the Quran that we all know. But it was very effective the way he presented it. He did a compare and contrast study. He said that, look, compare to a certain point, and then after that, we can contrast, right? Compare. So he said that, look, there are two prophets, Nabis. Beyond that, there are two Rasuls. Beyond that, there are two Ulul Azam min Rasul. They're very, very high-ranking prophets. The Ulul Azam min Rasul are four. Nuh Najihullah, Ibrahim Khalilullah, Musa Kareemullah, and Isa Ruhullah. So we're comparing two. So two out of the four. Half of the Ulul Azam Rasul. The top four prophets of all time. Okay? Now, both of them, Allah Ta'ala mentions the story in the Quran. Both of them are calling out to their sons. One of them says, Ya Bunayya. And then the other one also says, Ya Bunayya. So this, up till now, is still comparing. It's parallel. Both of them are calling out to their sons in two different ayat in the Quran. And both of them are saying, Ya Bunayya, O my dear son. One side we have Ibrahim Khalilullah saying, Ya Bunayya. And one side we have Nuh Najihullah saying, Ya Bunayya. Now, if you're with me, if you haven't fallen asleep yet, okay, then what happens is that this is where it diverges, the paths. The contrast begins. The paths go so opposite, is lamhatun fikriya, opportunity to reflect. Allahu Akbar. He said, ek dawa de rahe apne bete ko, jaan bachane ko, ek dawa de rahe apne bete ko, jaan qurban karne ko. One is inviting his son to save your life. One is inviting his son to give his life, sacrifice. Nuh alayhi salam is saying, Ya Bunayya, O my dear son, irkab ma'ana, come join me on the ship. Wala takum ma'al kafirin, don't be with the disbelievers. Come, sawar ho jao, come join me on my ship. I'm calling you to save your life. What does he say? قَالَ سَآوِي إِلَى جَبَلٍ. No, no, no. He rejects. He rejects the order to save his life, and he says that Sa'awi ila Jabal, I'll climb onto the mountain. Ya'asimuni min al-ma, I'll be safe from the water. The father is pleading, La asim al-yawm min amrillah. No one is going to save you from the amr of Allah. Illa marahim. Wa hala baynahum al-mawj, a huge wave comes and overcomes him. Wa kana min al-mughraqeen, and he is drowned. So when Nuh alayhi salam is inviting his son to save his life, he says no. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, we just covered it tonight in Surah Safat. Ibrahim alayhi salam says, Ya bunayya, O my dear son, inni ara fil manam, I saw a dream. Anni adbahuk, I am slaughtering you, sacrificing you. Fandur madha tara, what do you think about it? Qala ya abati fa'al ma tu'mar. He says, O my dear father, fulfill the order of Allah that you saw in your dream. Satajiduni insha'allahu mina sabirin. You will find me insha'Allah from among the sabirin. So if one son is complying and one son is rejecting, logically we would assume the father who is saying save your life, he would accept it. The father who is saying give your life, he would reject it. But this is where it completely defies the logic. The father who is saying come and save your life, he says no. And the father who says give your life, he says yes. So then he said, "This. If you think this is the phenomenal part, this is not the phenomenal part. The final point is the most important point. He said, what is the difference? He said, ek ki maa hajira hai, ek ki kafira hai. Right? So he said, the mother of one is hajira, and the other one is kafira. He could have said, one is Muslim and one is kafir, but it wouldn't have the effect of hajira versus kafira. Right? So, Allahu Akbar. So Ismail is the son of Hajira, and Kana'an is the son of this kafira. The fathers are the same. Fathers are the same. One is Najihullah, one is Ibrahim Khalilullah. So this is how important it is, the effort on women, the Masurat work, the effort on preserving the deen in our women. Now, the thing is, we live in such a feminist time that, you know, that motherhood is under attack. In fact, even this comparison, instead of the fathers objecting that whatever success was in Ismail alayhi salam, you rejected any contribution of Ibrahim Khalilullah. That could be an objection from the fathers. But instead of that objection, the objection we will receive after this presentation would be, oh, this failure of Kanaan, you're attributing that to the kafira mother? No father is going to object that, oh man, why didn't you give any attribution of the success of Ismail to Ibrahim? You just said it's all Hajira's son. Instead of that objection, what is the objection we face? Oh, why are you attributing the failure of Kanaan to the mother? The reality is that biologically, physiologically, anatomic, any way you look at it, there is a contribution of the father, but the contribution of the mother is objectively per one hadith, three times more. The child develops in the womb of the father or the mother? The mother. The baby drinks the milk of the mother or the father? The mother. So there is a greater link. There is no umbilical cord between the father and the baby, between the mother and the baby. So there is a stronger link. Who do I owe my... So the way the responsibility is greater on the mother, the way the right of the mother is greater too. Who do I owe my loyalty most to? Ummuk, your mother. Thumma man, ummuk. Thumma man, ummuk. Right? Then who? Then abak, your father. So it goes both ways. It's fair on the other side too. The child owes the loyalty more to the mother, and the mother also has a greater responsibility for the tarbiyah of the child. So what about the dads? They're scot-free? No, they're not. If the mother is responsible for the tarbiyah of the children, the father, the husband, is responsible for the tarbiyah of the wife. Because the same surah, Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, hu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. O those who believe, save yourselves and your family members from the fire of Jahannam. And ahlikum is not referring to children only, but also the wife. So the husband is responsible for the tarbiyah of the wife. That may go against the norms of society and say, whoa, is there a hierarchy there? You're responsible for my tarbiyah, yeah. Now whether people accept it or not, we're not going to change the truth of the Quran to, you know, to sound nice and politically and socially correct. According to the current understanding of the dynamics of a marriage, there is a hierarchy for the Quran. So the husband is responsible for the tarbiyah of the wife, but how will he do it? He'll do the tarbiyah in a different way, kindly, with nicely. Udu ila sabila rabbika bil hikmah, in mawa'izat al hasana, with wisdom and kindness. We're not preaching that he should become a hard-fisted dictator, my way or the highway. He should make mashura. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did khidmah at home. All of those disclaimers we have to add just to make it palatable and digestible. Otherwise, it may give a wrong impression. The husband is supposed to be kind, supposed to be nice, supposed to be loving. And subhanAllah, khiyarukum khiyarukum li ahlihi wa ana khiyarukum li ahli. The best amongst you are those best to their wives, and I'm best to my wife. With all of that, he's still, at the end of the day, responsible for the tarbiyah of his wife and the children both. And the wife has a huge responsibility for the children. It has a huge impact on the children. That is why what's bygones is bygones. But if you want to save the next generation, we have to make the tarbiyah of our daughters the start, you know. And these daughters are going to become the architects of society, and they're the ones who are going to build or break the rest of the ummah, the next generation. And I was intending to hold myself back, but I just went on that. Hopefully it's not a rant per se, but it is a heartfelt plea. The next one, وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives an example of the believing woman, إِمْرَأَةَ فِرْعَوْن, the wife of Fir'aun. So this إِمْرَأَةَ فِرْعَوْن, this wife of Fir'aun, is Asiya alayhi salam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَيْرُ نِسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ أَرْبَعُونَ, the best woman of all times are four, two from the previous nations, Asiya and Maryam, and two from this ummah, Khadija al-Kubra radiallahu anha and Fatima radiallahu anha. Four women were mentioned. And these four women mentioned in this hadith are the personification of four attributes. Each one is like an attribute in physical form. The embodiment of that sifa. So Asiya alayhi salam is the embodiment of sabr and istiqamah, no matter how challenging the times may be to practice the deen. As we know her story, or we'll see a little part, glimpses of her biography. And Maryam alayhi salam, I think it's a no-brainer for everyone. She is the pinnacle of what? Haya in modesty. And Khadija al-Kubra radiallahu anha is the example. I kind of already alluded to it, even though I wasn't intending to. We covered it already. Which one is she? Khidmah of the deen, khidmah of her husband. She supported her husband, alayhi salam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Fatima radiallahu anha, she is the pinnacle of zuhud, sadgi, and not becoming a slave of fashion and worldly things. That, you know, all these curtains need to change it. Why? What's wrong? No, I just don't like them anymore. Change all the furniture, all this. She had, what? Zuhud. She completely sacrificed every worldly pleasure for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's so many examples of her feeding hungry with and being feeding the needy while remaining hungry and starving, and her children are starving, etc., etc. So these four sifat, these four attributes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted these four women, and they have been identified by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She is the one, Asiya alayhi salam, from when Musa alayhi salam was a baby, she said, قُرَّةُ عَيْنِ لِي وَلَكْ لَا تَقْتُلُوهُ, do not kill him, O my husband. She was the most beloved queen of Fir'aun, and through her intercession, Musa alayhi salam was survived, and he was not killed. لَا تَقْتُلُوهُ, do not kill him. Fir'aun was killing all the babies, but he loved this wife so much at that time, before she accepted Islam, that he fulfilled her request. But when she believed in Musa alayhi salam, she was tortured and tortured to death. And as she was being tortured, she made this very unique dua. وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِمْرَأَةَ فِرْعَوْنَ, the wife of Fir'aun, إِذْ قَالَتْ, as she was being tortured to death. See, when she accepted her Islam and when she professed her Islam, she knew what she was going to face. That is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَفْضَلُ الْجِهَادِ, the greatest form of jihad is كَلِمَةُ حَقٍ عِنْدَ سُلْطَانٍ جَائِرٍ, to speak the truth in the face of a tyrant king. Because the king who is a tyrant king, you know, from the worldly means perspective, he has all of the authority, privileges, jurisdiction to take out his anger on you and to punish you, and you still speak the truth. So this is what happened. She said, رَبِّ بِنِي لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. She said, oh Allah, build for me. Meaning building gives and constructing, it gives the connotation of intentionality. One is, you just buy a house, it's not necessarily going to be exactly as you want. But if you have a custom design home that you are constructing it, you're designing it, then every single part of that house is exactly as you want. If there is a church, mashallah, that you buy and you convert it into a masjid, Sometimes, you know, very basic things will not be there. Like the Mus'hafs are facing northeast. That's the Qibla from here, from this part of the world. And the Mus'hafs will perhaps be at an angle to the walls. Right? We all have prayed. The Mus'hafs are at an angle to the walls because it has been rehabbed. Or the doors to enter the prayer hall are in the Qibla wall. Or then you'll have to create a pathway for them to, where if a masjid is built from the ground up, the doors to the prayer hall are always in the back. So you're not crossing in front of people, things like that. So she said, O Allah, ibnili, build for me. Right? A custom design, new one. And build for me. But the thing is, subhanallah, the scholars say, ذَكَرَتِ الْجَارِ قَبْلَ الدَّارِ. She mentioned the, normally you would say, Ibn Ali, baytan indaka, a home near you. A home, baytan, and then you describe the home, the mosuf, the sifa. Where is this home? Indaka, near you. But over here, what did she say? She said, indaka first. She said, by you, near you, baytan, a home. So she was, had the talab in the desire for the jar qabla dar, for the neighbor before the home. This is a statement in Arabic. They say, utlubu al-jar qabla dar. Seek the neighbor before you seek the home. Make sure that you have a good neighbor. Like that Yahudi in Baghdad, I talk about once in a while. Do you know the story of the Yahudi in Baghdad who put his house on the market and it was so, so expensive? People said, you're out of your mind. This is like so many times the market value. I understand you're greedy for money, but there's a limit. How can you even ask such a price? He said, no, this is not even the true worth of the house. They said, are you out of your mind? What do you mean it's not the true worth? He said, there's no price for this. It's priceless. He said, what could be the value of a home that your neighbor is Abdullah ibn Mubarak if you move here? Whoever buys the home, his neighbor will be Abdullah ibn Mubarak. So, utlub al-jar qabla al-dar. Seek the neighbor before you seek the home. So, here she said, indaka, near you. I want a home near you. Nobody in the whole Quran made a dua like this. This part of it is very unique. Build for me near you, baytan, a home. Fil jannah in jannah. Allahu Akbar. So, you know, they say aim high. She aimed really high. She got it too. Don't hold back. Because if you look at your own deeds, more like bad deeds, more sins than what good deeds do we even have to even call good deeds. But if you look at our actions, we are in no way to ask anything. But we are looking, when we ask Allah Ta'ala, we ask based on the giver. Innaka antal wahhab. He's the greatest of all. وَإِذَا سَأَلْتُمُ اللَّهَ الْجَنَّةِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم said, when you ask from Allah Jannah, فَسَلُوهُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ. Ask for Firdaus, سَقْفُهَا عَرْشُ الرَّحْمَنِ, the roof of which is the Arsh of Allah. Arsh of Allah is the roof. You can't get higher than that. Somebody was saying, you know, it's okay. If I, you know, kahin kone mein koi jhopri mil jaye jannat mein to bhi bas hai, right? Na hawla wala quwwata. If I get like a little shack, a little hut in some corner of Jannah, then that's all I want. Astaghfirullah. Why are you holding back? Ask from Allah Ta'ala the highest level of Jannah. You don't, why are you asking for a shack? Sar chupane ko koi bas. You don't worry about that. Allah Akbar. Ask, Allah is the greatest giver. Who are you asking from? Rabbi ibn Ali indaka. She asked, near you a baytan, a palace in Jannah. Allah Akbar. Wanajini min fir'auna wa amali. You know what? The scholars say, the biggest crisis right now is torture. You are under torture. Severe torture. Like ingenious methods of how to extend the pain without losing the life. Because if you die, then that's it, right? So they're coming up with these really elaborate plans of torture. So you need to get out of torture. But that's a really interesting part, is that that's not what she starts her dua with. That's the afterthought thought. Because the torture is fine. I'm going to get my sins forgiven. I'm going through that. She should have started off by saying, you know, they say in Arabic, Dafu al-Mudarra is awla min jalb al-manfa'a. Getting rid of the harmful thing takes priority over acquiring additional benefits. You have to remove the difficulty right now. But she mentions that later. وَنَجِّنِي مِنْ فِرْعَوْنِ. Grant me najat and deliver me from Fir'aun and his deeds. And وَنَجِّنِي. So what is his deeds? His kufr, his shirk, his claiming is Allah. So she's seeking protection from the batil aqidah. Then وَنَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. The last thing is, save me from the zulm. Like the physical torture is the last thing she's asking protection from. Rescue me, save me from Fir'aun and his batil aqidah. Amalihi is all that he's doing. Yeah, and he's killing all these innocent children, he's enslaving the woman. I don't want to have any part in that. Save me from that, because I'm bari from that. I know my husband's doing that, but save me from that. If I was silent, or if I did not protest enough and did not stop him, then save me from any repercussions of his actions. And she's referring to his batil aqidah, his false belief, his false practices. And at the last thing, the zulm also. If you take me out of that, it's great. If not, I'll tolerate it almost. That's what she is saying. Allahu Akbar. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do you think he is not going to respond to this dua of this beautiful woman, this sabira woman? Yes, absolutely. She was exposed to the burning sun. She was being pinned and restrained. A massive stone was placed on her. But Allah ta'ala, Allah ta'ala sent angels to give her shade. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed her the vision of her palace in Jannah, in this world. And she started smiling, and she died while she was smiling, seeing the palace in Jannah. Allahu Akbar. And then there are four women mentioned here: wife of Nuh, wife of Lut, Asiya, and the fourth last ayah. Wa Maryam ibnat Imran allati. We'll not spend time on this. This is not the topic of tonight, but it's the last ayah, the fourth woman. Wa Maryam, remember also the example of Maryam alayhi salam, Maryam bint Imran, allati ahsanat farajaha, who guarded her chastity. Remember, this is the most important attribute, the Virgin Mary. She had so much haya. فَنَفَخْنَا فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِنَا. We breathe into her our ruh. That this ruh means not the soul of God. He's divine. But this attribution is of tashrif, of honor. Just like we say Kaaba is Baytullah, doesn't mean that's Allah's address. He lives there. نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. So ruhina, the nisbat, the attribution of the soul, the spirit to Allah, means it is an honored soul. Like Baytullah is an honored house. Allah attributing it to himself. It's not a physical residence. So ruh of Allah does not mean it's divine or part divine. This is a special soul because it was a special conception and a special delivery, a special pregnancy. It was right when the soul was blown into her womb, she went straight to labor. It was no 9 months. The whole thing was special. وَصَدَّقَتْ بِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّهَا. She testified to the truths of the words of Allah, وَكُتُبِهِ, and the books of Allah. وَكَانَتْ مِنَ الْقَانِتِينَ. She was one of the devout ones. So these are the examples, you know, for our mothers, for our sisters, for our wives. And if the brother sitting here is saying, you know, what am I supposed to do? Then this is the tarbiyah we have to make for our daughters. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the fitna of feminism. And may Allah ta'ala allow our women to be inspired by the women of the Quran. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah.